What's up, guys? Welcome to the Flow T-Cast for episode 107. I'm just now starting to remember these numbers, which is fantastic. You know, it only took an episode to get back into the swing of things. So, yeah, we're at 107. Pretty hype. Scott, how are you doing?
Well, you know me. Doing great, working every day. I actually went back and listened to 106 episodes in a row to get ready for this.
So. No, you didn't.
No, absolutely not.
That's like 106 hours of just... No, it's more than that. It's like 200 hours of potting.
Yeah, bro. No, I've been listening to it nonstop, sleep, work, everything, you know, all week, you know, so we're ready.
Yeah, man.
I actually can't stand the sound of my own voice. I'm not going to lie to you. I couldn't do that.
Dog, I had to train myself to do it. Like, I had to, like, train my ears to just accept what my voice is so I can get on here and just, like, you know, speak my shit over and over again and not hate it.
Let me ask you this, right? Because this happened to me, and I'm sure any other content creator that's out there that has heard their own voice, be it musician, public speaker, podcast, Twitch, whatever. Now that you can hear your own voice from like a third party, like, you know, you hear your recorded voice from like a third party, when you speak, does it sound like it does on the podcast to yourself, or do you still hear the way you used to hear? Because I thought my voice sounded way different before we started doing the podcast, and now that I know what I sound like that all the time.
I think I still sound like how I've always thought I sounded like, you know, like when you're hearing yourself talk, there's like a certain sound, but that's because I think it's like the scientific reason is like the bones in your ears and stuff vibrate different than what you can hear when it's coming outwards instead of inwards. If that makes sense. I don't know. I could be talking a bunch of shit and then, you know, somebody will correct me later, but it's fine. It's fine.
All right. I don't know. I feel like I sound like I do on the podcast now, but before I used to think I had the deepest voice ever, you know. Now I know that I just sound like some Pokemon nerd, so there you go.
I thought I had like a not as deep voice as I have. So.
Well, that's what, you know, three packs of Newports a day will do to you.
No free ads.
don't smoke, kid.
By the way, smoke, it's fine. By the way, Newport's actually a city in Rhode Island, and that's it. So, like, anyway, we got a show for you guys today. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. So, yeah, let's just get right into it. Scott and I actually played in a tournament together on Friday. So Scott, how did you do?
I went 301 because I ID'd the last round, so I took some money home. How did you do?
I went 301 as well, if anybody was asking. I ID'd the last round and took some money home. Buy some cards, and we'll get to that later. That's like at the end of the show. We'll talk about the cards I bought. But what did you play? And what did you play against?
So I played Single Strike Lugia. I played against two Chin Paos. I don't know if they both played Frigia, whatever that thing is. But only one saw it, so, you know, I don't know if maybe he just wasn't having a good day, or I don't know when, or he didn't play it, but I played against two of those, and I played against what else did I play against? I think it was another Single Strike Lugia, but they were pretty good games. I mean, all three of my games I felt like were close.
Oh, real quick, one of them I know for a fact does not play the Frigibacks or whatever.
Okay, so there you go. I know that I didn't see it because I was like ready for it the whole time. I had like, you know, the game plan, and then it didn't come up, and I was like, oh, I guess I'll just knock out the things with energy the whole time, and we'll just call it good because you can't possibly get it back. But No, it was good. I felt like all three games are good. My opponents played well. I was just like, for once, since I've, you know, been casually playing, been on top of my game, and I knew my deck, so I didn't have any situations where I was looking for a boss that didn't exist. So, you know, played well. Took, what, $40 home, something like that? So, can't complain.
Something in that regards. That was like $44 of store credit or whatever. It's pretty good. But, yeah, that's excellent. So, Single Strike Lugia felt really good?
No.
Okay.
Like, everything in this format right now feels mid as hell, you know? So
I know.
It works because every other deck feels the same way. So maybe it's because they all have like semi-equal power and it is a skill-based format. Maybe it's just because the certain combination of cards we have don't synergize as well as previous. Maybe I couldn't really tell you what it is, but I haven't found a deck that I feel like is, you know, feels like a Pokemon deck, and feels less like, I just feel like every deck in this format right now, you can say, oh, I had a Lugia hand, or, oh, I had a Lost Box hand, or, oh, I had a Gardevoir hand, right? Like, they all feel like one bad starting hand away from losing regardless, right? So, I don't know.
Yeah, I was feeling that yesterday. We'll get into the League Cup thing that I played in at Clarksville yesterday, but it just feels like a lot of decks have like their own specifics. Like I was talking to Christian Chase yesterday, and I was like, yo, Lugia, the one card that scares me the most in Lugia and why I fear playing that deck is Capturing Aroma. Just because it's like, oh, I need a basic right now. Like, right now. And you flip heads and you got to get an evolution Pokemon. Like, or Messagoza is another one. Like, those flip turns that can, like, ruin your day. Like, if you just don't get the cards that you need. And Battle VIP Pass and, like, Gardevoir, Lost Box, Mew, whatever. Like, if you don't find that, and your opponent does on their first turn, you're at a significant disadvantage. Now, I don't hate Battle VIP Pass as a card, but it's just the way the format is with it in rotation right now is just, it doesn't feel great sometimes, especially if you whiff those things. But yeah, dude, I feel that. And actually, speaking on that, yesterday, I played in a League Cup. I mentioned that at Clarksville. Super fun. 2-hour drive away, whatever. But round one, I didn't get to play the game because if I attach energy to Ralts and passed, and they proceeded to find every... I shouldn't say every card that they needed because they had to dig a lot just to get four. I was playing against Lost Tina, and just to get four in the Lost Zone to cram, knock out my dude, it took them forever. So, like, he was really struggling to get it. And I was sitting on Mirage Step Curlia in hand. And if he'd have let me play, like, we'd have popped off. But he found his escape rope he needed and the four in the Lost Zone, so he got the donk. Game two, same thing. So it's like attach Ralts pass. I'm already down 0-2, and I'm like, damn, dog. It's round three and I still haven't played the Pokemon trading card game that I drove up here to do. This feels horrible. And then rounds three, four till six, I got to play the game and I won like every game. I went 4-2, which that felt good. Made me bubble 17th again, to whiff on points, but like that doesn't matter. Those best finish limits need to be replaced if we're going to go to Worlds. So I was just like, all right, well, when I played the game, I won. When I didn't, I lost. I mean, that's Pokemon. But, like, the fact that getting into, you know, later we're going to talk about, like, the best decks coming out in the format, but, like, Lost Tina being one of them, the fact that a deck like that, that can be so fringe, like, it could hate you that day. Like, absolutely despise that you exist as a person. I don't know if that's good or bad for the game. I think it's fine. Like, you could honestly play almost whatever you want, and, like, you have a chance to do well. But in the same vein, there's not, like, that deck. Like, that it factor deck. Like when Pikaram was in the format, or Mega, or not Mega Mewtwo, but Mewtwo and Mew GX, which I know we don't like tag teams that much, but even like Zoroark, there was like that consistent deck that just did well. It just feels like everything's a coin toss right now.
I agree. Like I said, I also don't know if it's good or bad. You know, who knows? Years down the road, we may look back at this format and be like, wow, this was one of the best times Pokemon ever had. But just like with every format, right? You look at it from the inside looking out, and it seems like bad for some reason. But, you know, looking back at it compared to other formats or the format you're in, who knows? I would love this. I would absolutely love this format with the way that it's structured. If we had cards in our card pool that I felt make the game more skill-based and less like, if you don't get VIP pass, you lose. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. And I think, like, with as more Scarlet and Violet cards come out, like, it's leaning more towards that. Just got to get through rotation first. And I think Battle VIP pass does rotate this next time. Yeah, because it came out in Fusion Strike, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, those kind of cards are rotating out in April, and I think Scarlet and Violet will offer more of a skill base when it becomes more prevalent. Like, right now, there's only one EX, maybe two, that's going to be a huge factor in the meta, like, moving forward. I mean, you have Maridon, but that's always been fringe.
And Pau.
And Chin Pao's pretty good, too. But, like, the dominant one is Gardevoir. I forgot about Chin Pao. That's on me. And then the wild card is probably Charizard. Like, that's been very divisive as far as if it's good or not. And but we'll get to that later. Speaking of tournament structure and things and how things are set up now, what do you think about, like, do you think cups and challenges should be best of one, or do you think they should be best of three? I mean, I'm lumping challenges because we always say cups and challenges, but I think challenges should always be best of one. But what do you think?
So because I come from a background where, like, I worked for a game store and, like, I know how hard it is to set up events and stuff like that, if you're going to have local size events that aren't backed, either financially or whatever, by Pokemon, like, if you have no help, if you just have to set up the event by yourself, like, I'm not talking about, you know, the promo cards or whatever they're giving out, the prize packs, like, obviously Pokemon sends that. I'm talking about, like, you know, these stores have certain hours that they have to be open. They are trying to schedule tournaments within a time frame, and they have other things to worry about. From that standpoint, I believe cups and challenges should always be best of one, with challenges being best of three for top. Simply because those are going to be bigger tournaments. They're going to take up an extended amount of time from the norm Pokemon tournament that they have there, like the local tournament. And so it should feel like a bigger tournament to people playing it. However, you still have to take into consideration the game store. You're taking up a lot of table space. They might have had to cancel other things that would have brought more customers in. And I mean, quite frankly, from a store standpoint, it seems like, and not only seems, you're probably losing money, because while you're having more people come to play, they're not buying product. They're already set. They have their deck. They know what they're playing. They probably drove a far way, so they already spent money to be there. They're not buying products. So from a business standpoint, cups are terrible. So I would not extend them any further than they absolutely had to be. From a competitive player standpoint, I would love for challenges to be best of one and cups to be best of three, because that is a good transition point to regionals. for those people that have not played a more competitive format, and that it also feels better for the people who have played regionals and bigger events, because you feel like the variance doesn't affect you as much. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. But personally, I tend to side more towards the game store itself, the business side of it, more so than the Pokemon player, you know, desire.
I agree a little bit on the they're not making as much money, but in a way that they are, though. You know, for example, yesterday it was a $20 League Cup. The prize packs was like a booster box, and then it like trickled down a little bit. But like, you're making revenue off of food, off of snacks, sleeves, things like that. Maybe not as much as just customers coming in and out of the store, but you're also getting an influx of people just coming from all over the place that still have to get like some things. Maybe they want to buy a booster box. Maybe there's a new card game that was released on Friday that they have some booster packs for overvalued prices because it's not completely out yet. Maybe you have a cafe on the side, though, like for real. And then like, now you're just making a lot of money. So I would argue, yes, like I agree with what you're saying, especially the time thing for a store. Like if you have a league challenge or a league cup that's best of three and you started at 12 o'clock, you're not done till like midnight. And me personally, it was fantastic that I was home by 6 o'clock. like, oh shit, I thought I was going to be home at 10, which if I would have not bubbled top 16 and would have got top 8, maybe I would have been there by 10. But that, like, that's on me as a player. I have to do that. So that was fantastic, being best of one. But the competitive edges and, you know, like the way the format is, the format feels like it is tailored to be more best of three than it is best of one, like for a skill issue. Or yeah, well, mine was a skill issue. I'm trash at this game. But variance wise, like it would be more tailored for a best of three experience, and you get to learn the ropes of scooping at this time, so you can like have enough time to finish three games and knowing X thing and other thing and whatever, blah, 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 blah. I think I'm with you. I agree with you that for the store's sake, it should be best of one and best of three cut for cups and best of one challenges. Like, it should be that. But for selfish desires to win at all costs, honestly, it should be best of seven. The fuck? What do you mean, bro? I'm gonna beat you eventually. A best of seven League Cup starts at 5 in the morning. We're getting done at 5 the next day. Best of seven. 3-hour rounds.
Get the fuck out of here. No chance, bud. But I think the way to, like, as a, looking from a perspective of, like, if you, like, tier the competitive scene, you know, challenges is supposed to be one step above locals, right? You're going to have slightly better players come. It's a competitive thing. The penalties are given out at a harder basis, right? Cups are supposed to be one step above that. So if challengers are best of one, cups are best of one. And then if you do prove yourself to be at the level that is ready for the next step and you make top cut, then best of three is great, right? I think not in order to fix it, but to make like a good in between from that to regionals, it would be nice if they had like another step, like challenges, cups, and like store championships, right? That were best of three. You know, it was, you knew going into it, you only have like one per quarter, let's say, instead of one per month or whatever cups are. And then like those were hard capped at a certain round limit. You know, like it doesn't matter how many people show up, there's only five rounds, and those are best of three with top cut, top eight, right? And then from there, you go to regionals. That would be from like a building, you know, towards something level. I think that would be great. That would also like serve as like a good in between, you know, from winning. How much are regionals? Like 200, right? 200 championship.
Yeah.
So 50 to 200. So make those 100, and then that also makes it to where the championship points like doesn't seem absolutely unobtainable if you don't go to like 10,000 regionals this year.
I told you,
put like a.
It is obtainable. Just win.
Just win.
Why are we talking about that?
But I don't know. I would really like to see that, but maybe that's just me. Like, I miss states and cities and stuff like that, right? So
yeah,
I felt like that was the structure. And
I don't know. I don't know what that was like. You know, battle road states and cities and things like that. That was before my time. I know that was like back in the Cold War days for you, buddy. But but for me, it was that was not a thing. So I was doing some research, you know, trying to remember things that we didn't get to talk about since we've last done the podcast. And one thing we never got to talk about was the release of Kadabra. Like, Kadabra as a card. I mean, everybody knows the story about how, like, Yuri was, like, put, like, a hex on or a ban on Pokemon from releasing their products, so they just never printed a Kadabra. But in the Pokemon 151 set coming out in September, there's a Kadabra card. It's back. So, I'm telling everyone now, you're going to play... I recommend that you play 59 cards, and in honor of Kadabra coming out, everybody puts a one of in their deck for no reason. Or we all just play Alakazam. Because Alakazam is actually kind of sick. Like, the Alakazam is an EX that can sit on your bench and for two psychics, swing from the bench for 120. So it's pretty sick. Scott, are you looking up the Kadabra card?
Yeah, I hadn't seen it. I didn't hear about that. So
you didn't hear about Kadabra coming out?
No. So I had to look it up real quick. But I mean, no, I'm not doing it. I might play Alakazam and then I'll play Kadabra, but I'm not gonna just put a Kadabra in my
for the sake of me. Fair, that is kind of dumb. Don't do that. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to do that. I might play Alakazam for real, though. Like, imagine...
What is Alakazam's first attack?
Mind Jack. It's like, does 30 for each of your opponent's bench... for each Pokemon on your opponent's bench. Jesus Christ, talk, Steven.
So for DCE, you could do 240?
30?
It does 90 plus.
90 plus?
150? Yeah, Alakazam's kind of broken.
Yeah. I didn't even know it did that. I thought it was like 160. It's 90 plus 30 times?
Yeah, 90 plus 30 times. So that's 150, right? 30 times 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I was like, is my math right here? And then, yeah, plus 90.
Well, it'd be 220 if you're putting a DTE on it.
Okay, yeah, so 220.
That's still one shot.
A DTE, though.
That's still one-shotting basic Vs and some EXs. But its second attack is so cool for two psychics. If it's on, it can attack while it's on the bench, and you just do 120.
Yeah, Alakazam's kind of
good.
Kind of good. That's a low cost. Those are both good attacks for low cost, right? Like, obviously, it's situational or whatever you want to call it. Your opponent can play around it, but that never stopped Palkia from being good or anything else, right? So,
can you play around it, though? It's sitting on the bench, bro.
No, I mean, not the second attack, the first attack.
Yeah,
The second attack is just like, oh, I missed by 120 because I attacked with... Cramorant. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, not only that, you could like stick a Snorlax in the active that has like blockade, promote something that's like kind of big and hard to retreat out, and then just like smack it on the bench, like without even doing anything with Snorlax, you know? Or like
those stupid, what was it? Kabutops or whatever, the ones that kept you from playing supporters if they're in the active. Are they still in the format?
No.
Oh, man.
Or like if you have like, something that says that this is in the, like, what's the Pokemon that needs to be in the active and it shuts off abilities? Is it Tinglu?
Wobbuffet.
Or Tinglu, if you have damage counters on the bench, like you can swing for... You just had stick Tinglu in the active and then just like have Alakazam chilling on the bench. Just bop, 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 bop. Suck it, nerd. Bop, bop, bop. Just get a hit from all... It's like those like scenes in movies where it's like you're walking down the street and you're just getting shot up by like random people like in the buildings. Just like bow, 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 bow. That's what's happening to your Pokemans, bro. With my boy Alakazam on the bench. That's so... I didn't even know Mind Jack did that much. I was just too focused on that other attack.
I mean, Alakazam's kind of nice.
Yo, are we playing Alakazam from here on out? And then playing four copies of Kadabra? Even though we can just rare candy and forget about Kadabra?
No, we're going to play one copy of Kadabra just like we always can do.
That's nuts. That's so cool. But I had to bring that up because I thought that was interesting. Another interesting thing that I saw on the interwebs doing my aggressive research of things to talk about is shortly after Worlds, my boy J.W. Kriwal made a tweet that blew the hell up on Twitter or X Twitter or Twitter X or SpaceX. No free ads.
The artist formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah. he said, and I quote, "Hey, Yu-Gi-Oh! And MTG players, you can buy the Pokemon TCG Worlds winning deck for about $30. Join us." And then, as I said, it blew up, and he was getting absolutely, I don't want to say pummeled, but shout out to him for replying to everyone. But he was getting, you know, some Yu-Gi-Oh! Players and Magic players asking questions like, where can I find these things? And then he was getting salty Yu-Gi-Oh! Players who were just like dogging him for like, yo, Pokemon takes less skill. And then like Magic players are like, while, you know, saying their thing, like he was getting assorted opinions on the matter. Barring the price point, we're obviously biased here and are going to say Pokemon is a better game. Maybe. Would you actually try to convince a Yu-Gi-Oh! Player or a Magic the Gathering player to swap sides and come here? And should price point ever matter in that conversation?
So it depends on the person's situation, right? For a lot of people, Pokemon is the outlet to play card games because they love to play card games at a lesser price point. I mean, let's face it, right? Like, if you are single, living in your first apartment, maybe going to college, you know, you got like a part-time job, you really don't have much expendable income, but you love to play card games, Pokemon is obviously the way that you go. However, just like, excluding price point, let's say everybody has an infinite amount of funds, then my argument for which card game is better or if you should come over comes based on a couple of things, right? Like, what are you looking to get out of the card game? And are you interested in the community at all? Because, I mean, we have a lot of issues in our community. Everybody does. But the community as a whole in Pokemon is always, in my opinion, better and more suited to invite everybody than any other card game that's out there. Magic the Gathering is full of gatekeepers, and then Yu-Gi-Oh! Is just sometimes can be the most toxic thing I've ever heard of. I always hear stories from Yu-Gi-Oh! And back when I used to play Yu-Gi-Oh! It was like you always had to watch your back regardless, and it didn't feel like a cohesive community. It just felt like gang fights. You know, everybody had their own little clique, and then that was it. God, I mean, am I wrong? Exactly,
no.
Right?
So, it's just funny.
So if
they got a little bandit Keith running around, bro, like pulling up
that's
the blicky.
What I'm saying, man. No, it was really horrible. Like, you stuck with your local group, and you only talked to your local group and or your playtesting group, and then that was basically it. Because if you talked to anybody else, right, like it always turned into something. I mean, what, 4 times while I was playing Yu-Gi-Oh, somebody from my group had their whole backpack stolen while they were playing the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's absolutely insane. But, you know, that, whatever. Like, if community is not your thing, if you want a more skill-intensive game, I can't speak to Yu-Gi-Oh! Currently. Last I heard, it was all a bunch of, like, OTKs, so maybe that's not the skill-intensive game. But Magic the Gathering is a better designed interactive game. So if you're looking for more of like a, I'm not going to say skill based, but if you're looking more of a, I want to play the whole game, not just on my turn, Magic the Gathering, I feel like, is a better game for you. I think that Pokemon is just as skill based, but it's more of a skill based thing because it's chess. You know, like, you have to think 2-3 turns ahead, because you only get to act on your turn. So you have to set things up on your turn, assuming your opponent's going to do something. And, you know, obviously some decks are more suited to be just straightforward, you know, than others. But as a general whole, my turn, your turn, my turn, your turn is a very skill thing that you have to get used to coming from other card games. So it all depends on what you're looking for. I like Pokemon because of the community more so than anything. I also like Pokemon because of the price point, because after you buy the general staples, you buy a playset of each of the supporters, you can pretty much pick up each deck for like $15. You know, granted, there's always going to be other arts. You know, there's going to be some like Charizards right now are like $25.
And then every once in a while, you get a card. Sir, they're $34. Like, please give me some credit. Oh, I bought them at $20 a piece. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I bought them at $25. So
that's suck it, nerd.
Yeah. But, you know, and there's always going to be like that one card that, like, you know, the Shamans or the Crobats when it first came out or whatever. I don't know how much Crobat was, but as a general whole, you could buy a playable deck for cheap. So, you know, it is what it is. I don't think any one of them is better than the other one. It just depends on what you're looking for. As far as the argument that I saw that was like, Yu-Gi-Oh! Players do so well in Pokemon, and I haven't seen a Pokemon player do well in Yu-Gi-Oh! Wrong. Like, I top 8ed Yu-Gi-Oh! I've never top 8ed Pokemon. And Yu-Gi-Oh! Players do tend to do well in Pokemon. Sort of, but everybody kind of does well in Pokemon at certain points. Everybody can have a run, right? And like, I know of Pokemon players that also play Yu-Gi-Oh! That do fairly well, you know, like some of my friends. So, like, no, it's a completely different card game, right? Like, your skills to play card games are gonna, you know, transfer, but it goes both ways, you know? Like, I don't know. That's the whole argument is freaking stupid. And the fact that the Duke could only, like, you know, oh, he got his world's invite. Well, buddy, 500 wasn't that hard to reach. If you play enough events, you're probably going to get it anyhow. So I don't know what to tell you. Like, world's invite is nice. It's nice to get a world's invite. It's something to be proud of. But, you know, it's not like you had to win an event to get there. Like, if you told me he wanted a regional and that's how he got his world's invite, like, if he played this season and that's what he did, you know, your argument stands. But, you know, like, depending on where you are, if you play in cups that are only 8 people and you always win your locals anyhow, good job, bud. You got your world. You know? If you did it in Orlando, then maybe
that,
I
yeah,
have more.
That is a thing. Like, Orlando and Ohio, I guess.
Ohio. Like, and there's some places out west, right? Like, yeah. If you're playing in, like, 50-person cups and you win them all and that's how you got your world's invite, cool. You know, like, if you top 16 every regional and nobody still knows who you are somehow and that's how you did it, cool. I don't know how the guy did it. I didn't look it up. But if you're telling me that, you know, this guy's from like the middle of Wyoming and he got his invite because, you know, he played in every cup and there was only like 16 people and they were all juniors, like, cool, bud. I don't know what to tell you.
But I know, like, I look at, like, how that statement is. It's like, it only costs you $30 to, you know, get into the Pokemon game. And it's like, that's great for everyone. But, like, there's a prestige factor a little bit when there is a price point to it, too. So, like, the counter argument, like, think about it. Let's say, let's take skill out of it completely. You've accumulated a $10,000 commander deck. That's pretty sick, bro. Like, I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, that's pretty dope. Or you go buy the new League Battle deck and then just start playing Pokemon. Anybody can do that. So, like, there's, like, a little bit of prestige to it. Like, when there is, you know, a value to your cards that you're playing with. That being said, if you suck, it doesn't matter how much money you spend on a deck. You suck. Spend the $30, go play the Mew deck, and learn how to play a card game and transfer your skills anywhere else. But I'm just saying, yes, there are some gatekeepy things with like Yu-Gi-Oh! And Magic because of price points of some cards, but I think the financial value as far as which card game is better is like, just throw that shit out the window. That doesn't matter. Like, you like what you like, no matter how much it costs. So, I don't know, bro. I don't know.
Like I said, man, it all depends on what you're trying to get out of it, you know? Like, if you want to play that $10,000 commander deck and you have the means to do it, cool. I will agree. I will tell you, as somebody that just plays Magic the Gathering casually, as in, like, the only Magic the Gathering I play is, like, the Jumpstart boxes, because I like randomness because I don't have to know the format, right? I think Magic the Gathering is a better designed card game. I used to play a card game called The Spoils, which was basically Magic the Gathering with the things that were wrong fixed. And that was a better designed card game than Pokemon is. That doesn't mean that the card game's better. That means that the game system is better, right? But I always go back to Pokemon because it's very much my turn, your turn. And I love that aspect of it. I love not being able to go through my turn and be stopped dead because somebody dropped a hand trap or somebody played an instant. Like, I like to do the things. I like to play the game and then see what happens.
I agree 100%. I like to, like, when I first got into Pokemon, that was the first thing I noticed, because, like, I didn't get extreme into Yu-Gi-Oh!, but I played it a little bit. And I was playing, like, Cosmo Dark Destroyer or whatever, and it would be like, yo, you're not going to play your turn. I got this hand trap. Or whatever the fuck. Yeah. I can't remember what was out. It was, like, Effect Veiler or some shit. Anyway, and I was like, excellent. Okay, I lose. Got it. All right. And then I started playing Pokemon. I was like, playing my cards down, just waiting on my opponent to do something, and they're like, that doesn't happen in this game. I'm like, what? Are you serious? Yo, this is legit, bro. I love this shit. But I saw that argument going on Twitter. I thought it was, I mean, it's a good marketing standpoint. You can be like, yo, you can just get into the game tomorrow. I just don't think it matters. Oh, shit. Dog, I forgot to talk about something. Speaking of getting into a game, and I meant to bring this up earlier when we were talking about our tournament recaps. We have to talk about another tool that is used to get into video game, or not video games, but the trading card game. And that's online clients. We have to talk about it, because another thing that I was looking into that we haven't really got to talk about since we've been doing the podcast or not doing it is the Pokemon Trading Card Game Live, bro. I played in my first ever tournament on PTCGL ever the other day, because I'm like, yo, the podcast is up. My girl said I can compete. So I need to get some testing in. Let me get into an online tournament. So I fire up this tournament. I play round one. I use Chin Pao to search for two water energies, and I get stuck. Well, tournament rules state that if you have a glitch in the middle of a game that you can't save the game, you lose. Like, that's just how it is. So I take the L, and I'm like, all right, this is a problem. Game two, round two, the same shit happens. And I'm like, fuck this. Fuck this. No, 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 no. I am not doing this. Like, we are not going to go through a tournament, or I'm not going to commit X amount of hours to a tournament that I can't even play the game. Like, I bitched about not being able to play the game for 2 hours or two rounds at Clarksville yesterday. That's different. That's just how the game goes. But when the game glitches out and you can't even play and you have to take an L for it, nah. Nah, that's not fucking cool, bro. So I have to get out here and say, to those who do finish online tournaments and don't have issues, I applaud you. But the fact that you want to roll the dice every single night to, like, play in a 8, 9, 10, 48, 72 round tournament from, like, midnight to 5 in the morning, get up and go to work or school or whatever, that's fucking... That's some shit, bro. So if I want to dog on Magic and Yu-Gi-Oh, their online clients in a way better spot than ours.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean... Yeah, you can't argue that, especially because, like... I mean, both of them you can just, like, pay to have stuff in the game, though, right? Yu-Gi-Oh and Magic.
Yeah, yeah.
I know you can in Arena, but I... Pokemon you can too, I guess, but you have to buy real cards to do it because it's trying to get you to play the real cards. Conspiracy theory in me says that they aren't fixing the client because they want you to play in real life more. So like it crashes that way. You have the cards anyhow and you have to go play. realist in me says that it's a free client with, like, I mean, honestly, you don't have to upload any codes to have enough to have any deck that you want.
Well, they hand you everything, essentially.
Basically, yeah. So, I mean, whatever, right? It's a free client. It's going to have problems. They're trying to work on it. Visually, it looks like dog water. The sound is horrendous. And the gameplay is probably... like, I've seen better stuff on PlayStation 1. But with that being said, I mean, it's still Pokemon. It's still free. The online clients aren't, or the online tournaments aren't sanctioned by Pokemon, so...
Yeah, I know these are all, like, our
Pokemon's
problems.
Pokemon's not trying to fix it for you, you know, but...
Right.
It's funny, I haven't had any problems that people are talking about, so...
I haven't either. Like, when I just played when I would just hit the ladder and just play some games just to get the feel for a deck, that's all I use it for now. I couldn't even imagine trying to just stream for 8 hours a day and just play that thing. God, I would be so bored.
Absolutely not, yeah. I can't imagine watching a streamer play it for that long. Like, I'll log on and watch, you know, Twitch, you know, people playing it for a little while, but not... It's not like I used to, where I used to watch, you know, certain streamers that are big, no free ads. play for like hours just in the background, you know, just be like, oh shit, you know, and then go back to do whatever I was doing. But I can't watch live like that.
Yeah, it's... I can't either. Like, I couldn't imagine doing it or watching it. But like, when Charizard came out, I fired it up and I was like, let me run some games, see how this works. Oh, it's not bad. You know what, let me try an online tournament, see what we got going on here. Fuck that. You're right. I mean, Pokemon doesn't sanction these things, and if they did, god damn it, they would finally realize what they got going on.
Speaking of Charizard, I'm gonna put an open announcement out there. If anybody can teach me how Lost Box beats Charizard, or how that game's supposed to go, let me know, because I can't get it done. So
it's supposed to be favored against Charizard, homie.
I know, but like, there's got to be a way out. Like, I've gotten close, but I can't.
Just play the other side of it. You'll be like, yo, I'm so close to just beating this Charizard deck, but I can't.
You mean the Lost Box?
Yeah, the Lost Box deck. That's what I meant. Yeah, like, you're playing Charizard, and then, like, if you're up against Lost Box or Lost Tina, because that's how I am when I play against it. I'm like, god damn it, I'm so close, but I just can't do it. So I don't know, like, what the matchup spread of that is. But honestly, like, last week when we were talking about Charizard, I was like, yo, this deck is really, really good. Now I'm like, eh, maybe. Maybe it's good. Maybe I'm waiting to net deck it. I don't know.
It's got a really good premise. I think it's going to be one of those decks that needs to be figured out. It's not going to be, like, its strongest until, you know, a little while, right?
But yeah, like, close to, like, the next set release.
Yeah.
Kind of thing like that, yeah. Speaking of, now that by the time we record again, Obsidian Flames is, you know, going to be tournament legal, and our local card shops will allow us to play it. What do you think the top five decks in the format are going to be?
I don't think they change much. I think that the way it's going to go is Charizard's going to be super popular, depending on if you can get the cards, which is true for everything. But Charizard's going to be super popular. Whether or not it's a top deck, who knows? But while it's popular, Mew takes a step back. And then so with Mew taking a step back, I think it drops to like number six. Charizard replacing it probably like number... Not replacing it, but Charizard is probably like number five just because it's a new deck. I don't think it's going to be its strongest, like I said. So it is strong enough to be one of the top contenders, but it's probably at the bottom of the list until it gets figured out. After that, these are in no particular order, I think, because I don't think there's any one strong deck right now, but Chin Pao is definitely still there. That's a really strong deck. The Arceus variants, I think, are still up there. Actually, those are probably like number five, and then everything else is above it. So Chin Pao, Charizard, Arceus. I still think that Lugia is strong just because Lugia doesn't change. And you can kind of like play with it a little bit depending on the format. And it's just consistent. I want to say Lost Teen is there, but maybe that's just bias because I want it to be there. And I feel like it can be Charizard. I just don't know how yet. So, that'd be my top five right there. Like I said, it doesn't change much. I think that Charizard just replaces wherever, you know, just replaces in the top five Mew until either A, Mew figures out something to beat it, or B, Charizard figures out how to be the strongest deck or whatever, right? So.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm still kind of, like, on the fence to even consider Charizard in the top five. Just because I think it will be very popular just coming out. It's Charizard. It's a dark type. I love the card. I think it's sick. I will definitely probably play it Friday. Like, if I get to go play Friday, I'll try it because I spent the money. Might as well give it a shot. But number one, I still think, is Gardevoir. I think that's the best deck in the format.
I forgot about that deck, actually. That probably replaces the Arceus build.
I think close second is Lost Tina. You could probably flip-flop them. I just think Gardevoir's consistency just makes it just unreal.
How'd that consistency work out the first two rounds?
I told you I won four of my next... when I got to play the game, my consistency won me four games, so it's fine. But it is very consistent. With the asterisk of it is this format, so we got to remember that. I'm a big fan of what's the next one? I'm a big fan of Palkia Chin Pao. I don't know if it's top five yet, so we'll put a placeholder on that one. I'll get to it. If we're considering Lost Box and Lost Tina as two different decks, which you probably should, Lost Box would be number three. I still hate that deck with all the aching bones in my body. I think that deck would be number three. I also think a new form of Arceus variant is going to be like top five as well. Some cool things people are doing is, like, instead of using Charizard, they're using Arceus Pidgeot, like 3-4 Arceus, 2-2 Pidgeot. They're playing this, like, I can't remember the name of it, but it says move 2 energy from one Pokemon to another one of your Pokemon. So they're playing Radiant Greninja, powering up with Arceus, moving, playing the supporter to move energy to your Greninja to be able to use its Moonlight Shuriken. So now Arceus decks are playing Radiant Greninja and some form of grass attackers, whether it's Superior or Leafeon, one of those, just to counter Charizard. I've seen a lot of that. I think once that deck list is refined, it could be number 4. And then Lugia. So yeah, I don't see a place for Charizard to be up on the top 4 or top 5 yet. But Charizard could easily replace Lugia in top 5. Matter of fact, it could probably skyrocket all the way up to number 2. I just think Gardevoir is... No, Lostina is number 1, Gardevoir is number 2. That's how I'm going to do it. Lostina just... It's just good. I hate it. No, I take that back. Gardevoir number 1, Lostina number 2. I'm going to keep flip-flopping on those. I think Gardevoir is the best deck in the format. And I will continue to say that as long as Curly is in rotation. So, yeah. That's my 5. Mew is just outside top 5. Just because its Charizard matchup can be kind of whack. I mean, Mew still plays like Path to the Peak, but like Charizard just has to accelerate. Like, you just got to evolve 2 Charizards and use the ability. 330 is really hard to hit twice. Like, for yeah. And you got to do it 3 times. So I think Mew gets a really bad matchup out of this. But it'll probably win every regionals from here until it rotates. So it's just how it goes.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why we're talking about this. But another thing I wanted to talk about that I watched while I was at work on my lunch breaks was Pokemon announced at their direct that... That they are dropping an animated series called Path to the Peak. And it's like a 10-minute YouTube short series on their YouTube channel. And it's about this little girl like becoming a champion in the Pokemon trading card game. Have you watched this thing?
I have not. Cool. I was actually planning on watching it today. So it's funny that we're talking about it.
Cool. Well, I'm going to spoil everything for you. So it's like each video is like 10 minutes long. It's like the first video she discovers the card game because like her mom had a shoebox with trading cards wrapped in rubber bands. Fucking PSA collectors and stuff are like losing their minds seeing this shit. But she like discovers, and then there's like this school club, that like Pokemon club that plays the card game. And so she's like playing an old deck with an Oddish, and like she's like trying to learn this game, and her dad's like, I need you to pretend like that is your partner and that you and your partner Pokemon are going through this together. And that's how I learned how to win. And I'm like, okay, that's bullshit, but well, let's keep going. And, you know, and then the next episode, she goes to her first regionals championships with the Oddish, and she wins the regional championships with the Oddish. And I'm like, that worker, all right, that's bullshit. Listen, Pokemon, I get what you're doing. You're getting kids excited for the Pokemon trading card game. If they show up with an Oddish deck, they're going to get hammered. I'm sorry. Like, it's going to happen. Could we at least have some sort of, like, realism in this show where like her partner Pokemon is Lugia or Maridon or Mew?
So I understand your frustration, however.
I'm not frustrated. I shouldn't have been watching it.
Sir, watch your blood pressure. Okay. So I like what they're doing. What they're doing, in my opinion, is they picked a very unpopular Pokemon. And they made this unpopular Pokemon this girl's partner, right? And what they're telling kids is that, like, in order to play the game and be successful, you could play whatever you want. You could play whatever you want the Pokemon to be. Because for kids, like my son, they don't care about the most competitive deck right away. If they're getting into it, they care about what they want to play.
That's fair. And so that is fair.
My son fell in love with Maridon, and he wants to play Maridon. So the deck that I'm teaching him how to play competitive Pokemon with is Maridon. And he's more into playing it now because he gets to play Maridon than he's ever been before. It used to be I could sit him down and play one, maybe two games with starter decks. Now that I'm teaching him how to play Maridon, he wants to play for like 6 hours straight, which, you know, he's young, so that could be four games. But still, it's 6 hours straight of Pokemon for him, right?
Yeah.
And so by making the Oddish, this girl's partner Pokemon, it is basically telling him, like, whatever your favorite Pokemon is, that's what you should play, right? I like it. It's unrealistic. We know it is. Kids won't see it like that, though. Kids, you know, kids think Beyblade's real, right? So, like, you know, my son's upstairs, like, yelling, "Let it rip," and just, like, absolutely launching his Beyblade into the stadium from across the room, right? Because he thinks it's real, you know? In his mind, it is real. So, kids will be kids, right? It's doing its job. I like it.
Yeah, for sure.
It
for
looks
sure.
cute. I don't know if it's a good show. It looks cute, though. And I'm glad that, like, the trading card game's getting more love because it's hard to transition from you control these super powerful monsters that breathe fire on the video game to you stare at a piece of cardboard and read an attack. So,
yeah, that's fair. But they still could have done Mew. Like,
but Mew's a popular Pokemon, you know, like Oddish isn't popular.
You know what? I'm going to retract what I just said because for the most part, ever since I got into the TCG, up until like recently, most of the good Pokemon were not popular. Like the Garbodors, the Seismitoads, the Vileplume. Fuck. You know what? I'm talking shit and there was a Vileplume deck. You know what?
How many people have you ever met that said Pyroar was their favorite?
You.
No, I've never said Pyroar. Oh. Pyroar was my favorite deck. It was my first like actual competitive deck that I won with. But I've never met a single person that's like, my favorite Pokemon's Pyroar.
Yeah. Or Yveltal. Like, if somebody says their favorite Pokemon's Yveltal, they're a competitive player. In either 100%. Game. Yeah. Like. Okay. All right. I'll take back everything I said. They're going to hear that rant and be like, what a fucking moron. Just know that if you listen later, I've acknowledged that I'm a moron and I forgot Oddish was actually good and you could win a regionals with an Oddish. But she didn't have Forest of Giant Plants. So like, how did she get a win? Like,
I mean, like it is juniors, right? Like juniors are really good, but like,
actually, like there was a scene in the second episode when they were like going to regionals. He was like, "Do you want to play tier one?" And her friend flashed a Toxicroak EX, and I was like, this ain't it, Chief. Wait, is it though?
Is it? What's Are they foreshadowing?
Is Toxicroak good?
I'm not bashing on juniors right now, but I am saying if you're ever going to win a regionals with Oddish, like juniors would be the place that it could get done, you know?
That is true. That's not true. Juniors are animals too, bro.
They are, but like there's more variance in juniors because of that fact that kids want to play what they want to play, right? So
yeah.
If you show up with a crazy Oddish deck that like actually works, nobody's expecting it, and who knows, maybe it could be done, I think, but depending on I don't know what her deck is. It could be a Yugi Moto situation where she's just using the fucking heart of the cards.
No, she's using the power of her first partner Pokemon.
Oh my! Still, like, because Yugimoto should have never won a duel, right? Like, maybe this girl should have never won Pokemon, but not everybody could go on a run, bro. You know, who knows?
That's the beauty of Pokemon. Your $30 deck can go on a run. But I mean, it is cool that Pokemon's doing that. And once again, I just thought of another thing that we never got to talk about: the classic like TCG board game that they're doing. It's like $300, you know, where you get the. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Oh, okay. We'll look it up. It's like the Pokemon Trading Card Game Classic board game. It's like its own separate thing. And it's like $300 for this thing because it's like high quality. And it comes with like a Charizard deck, Venusaur deck, and Blastoise deck, and there's like reprints from like the past, which those three cards are the base set versions. And it's like dice rolling mechanic is this little ball, you put down a spinner and it lands on either heads or tails, like in a hole that's either heads or tails. It's got neat damage counters, and it just looks really cool. And that was another thing that we haven't had a chance to talk about that comes out in, like, October or something.
Yeah, late 2023. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah. I'm trying to get that for my coffee table. But it's pretty expensive, and I have children in the house. So I'm trying to get that for your coffee table.
It's pretty expensive, and I have children in my house.
I'm trying to hoard like 8 of them and put them in my safety deposit vault.
There you go.
I just thought that was cool.
It looks kind of cool.
Something we haven't had a chance to talk about. But speaking of things being released in the fall, though, and outrageous prices. So Scott and I played in this tournament. We talked about that earlier. And I told everybody that I was going to win this tournament because a card game released that day, and it's called Disney Lorcana. Since we split first and second, I got my hands on a starter deck. Scott's still debating it, whether or not he wants to go through with it. But I am not going to lie, the card game looks kind of interesting. One big problem. It's technically not big retail store out yet, or however they described it to me. So they were fucking selling booster packs for like $15 a piece. What? Why?
I don't know.
I get why. We don't disrespect the hustle, and that's pre-sale prices. It's the same thing of like why you don't buy singles for a set coming out before it's released, because it's outrageous, which Charizard did this thing where it went and then right back up. Like it went down and up. And but I was like, buddy, I would have bought a whole booster box if it was $100. What you're telling me, 15 a piece? 15? No. So I bought a starter deck for like $25. I probably got robbed, but that's all right. I have yet to play a game, but it's another one of those games that it doesn't have like in turn interactions. Like it's you can only do everything in your turn, and your opponent does everything in their turn, and I think that's super cool. It looks really slow though. I'm not sure. I don't know if you've watched any gameplay of it, but like watching it, it looks like really, really slow.
I'll probably pick up a starter deck or two. My wife misses playing card games, but she hates this current state of Pokemon, so maybe I'll get her into it. Since the starter decks come with the booster pack, though, it's almost better to just buy three starter decks.
Yeah.
For the price of three booster packs anyhow, right? So maybe I'll just fuck around to do that.
Yeah, it seemed like a better deal because you did get a booster pack with it. One thing that was super cool, though, was like the deck boxes. The sleeves that the company's sleeves that they made are awful. Absolutely atrocious. Like, we dog Pokemon's sleeves that come in the ETB. These are worse.
They're actually the same ones, though. I looked it up. They're both the Ultra Pro, like, they're both made by Ultra Pro or made in the same factory as Ultra Pro. But they're the same company, like, not the same company, but the same factory that makes both the Disney ones and the Pokemon ones.
Really?
I'm pretty sure. Like, everything that I could find online, like, pointed to that. Nothing actually said it, so I could be completely fucking wrong. But
they felt worse. Way worse.
Have you felt the new ETB sleeves, though?
Yeah.
I don't know. They feel the same to me, and, like, that's everything I could find. It seemed like they were all made in the same place, or at least by the same manufacturer or something, but I can't believe you sleeved up cards in them, because I don't feel like they do anything. So.
Oh, I took the sleeves off. I just did it because they were like $3, and I was like, whatever. But the deck box was super cool. Like, I got this Elsa deck box. My daughter's gonna love it when she sees it. That's the only reason I bought that, was so she could see it. But it's an interesting concept of a card game. I really want to try it. It seems like it's going to be like Pokemon, where it's easy to pick up and learn, but it's going to be very hard to master, I would imagine. Like, the more competitive you get into it. And of course, when more sets come out, it'll get faster or harder and
broken.
There'll be some broken cards that come out. One thing, I was talking to Abe at the card shop, we were laughing about, is like, there's so many Disney IPs that they could use. And the first thing I thought of, I was like, yo, Digimon has this concept where in one of the decks, you can play like 59 copies of this card. What if they had an archetype in Disney Lorcana where you played 59 Dalmatians? Like, you can't do 100 because you can't, like, or 101 because you can't have that many cards in a deck, but like, you just, like, you know, you get your items and whatever, and then the rest of it's just Dalmatians. You just flood the board with, like, Dalmatians. Like, that's the deck.
Oh my god,
that would be hilarious. And then it's like
the format becomes Aristocats versus 101 Dalmatians.
But I was just thinking of all the IPs that could be in this thing, like Toy Story, Finding Nemo, Monsters, Inc.,
Star Wars,
Marvel, Indiana Jones, LeBron James, because, you know, ESPN, Disney owns ESPN.
What if Lorcana just becomes a sports trading card game?
Alexander Ovechkin, Sidney Crosby, like, it could all be.
Yeah, like, somebody's just playing NFL.deck and they throw like a Disney Mickey Mouse wizard guy.
Yo, you play that, like, you got Patrick Mahomes singing the song Let It Go. Like, actually, I don't think Disney could get NFL, NBA, or any of those, so that's out.
No.
But
an interesting concept that I thought about, though, was if this game gets big, right, like, what better place to have worlds than at Disney itself?
That's probably where they would have it. Like,
you know,
worlds in Orlando, Anaheim, Hong Kong,
Tokyo,
wherever else there's a Disney World or land, you just have that. That's where you do your world championships. I think that's like, I don't even think that that's like a what if thing. That's a guarantee.
Your entry includes like a ticket to the park or whatever like that, right? Like, so every time you play Worlds, it is a Disney vacation, you know? It's like a dream come true for like card game players that are married to Disney wives or Disney adults that love card games, or, you know, people that grew up in Orlando that are in love with the theme parks anyway.
You get like 4 passes. Like, that'd be a dream come true for me. That saved me a shit ton of money.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about that. I told Heather, I was like, if they announce that, you know, the World Championship is going to be at Disney World or Disneyland or whatever, just based on my love for theme parks, I kind of got to play this game and get to be the best at it, you know?
Yeah, and have to commit to the bit, buddy. I gotta go do it. If not for my sake, for the kids' sake. So
no, I don't care about kids. I just want to go.
That's fair. That's fair. But I mean, it's cool and it's new. I just hope these prices come down. I just went on a rant about how the prestige of an expensive car game go up, shoot it up. All right, we're $500.
No. A booster pack should not be $15.
That's facts.
Individual singles could be as expensive as the community is willing to pay for it, but individual booster packs should not be that pricey.
For sure, and like I get it why it was like that, but I was just like, this is ridiculous, dude.
Oh yeah, I don't blame the store. You know, all the stores are doing the same thing. Like, it's market price. Like, make your money, dog. Like, I am not upset at you at all, but. Yeah. I am upset at the producers of the game for not realizing this would happen and circumventing it somehow. So
yeah, for sure. But so we're going to definitely try that here on this channel for sure. We'll let you guys know how it goes. I think Scott should have got his starter deck Friday as well, but he mulled over it and was like, nah, I ain't going to do it.
Yeah, I got to drop something off over there anyhow, so I'll probably pick up all three today, so...
I was about to ask which one. You were like, oh, just all three of them.
The one I want to play is the Aladdin one, but just because that's my favorite Disney cartoon. So.
I heard that that one's like the most like skill-intensive one out of the three.
Oh, perfect. It'll be perfect for me and not so much for you. So
yeah, that's why I got the mid-range one, the mediocre one.
That's the aggressively
mediocre, mediocre Simba deck. But I did pull this like Tamatoa Legend Super Rare or whatever. And it had a cool ability, so I got to switch one card out for it. That was pretty cool. So, so in like 2 weeks, we'll be the whole new world podcast.
Absolutely not. Remember when we talk about doing just a Pokemon Unite podcast, and then we stop playing the week after? I feel like this is going to be the same thing.
What do you mean we? You. I still play.
Whatever.
Well, no, I don't.
I played like 3 weeks ago. Once. Played one game.
I like grinded to get Mewtwo, and that was about it.
Oh, yeah. I still play Eldegoss.
You don't even have Dragapult yet?
No, I don't have anything.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah, we really shut down Pokemon Unite.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. Damn, dude. So, you were telling me earlier about, like, some tales from the card shops.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, as I've said before, I used to work in a card shop, and I have a lot of friends that obviously work in card shops. So I want to start a new segment called Tales from the Card Shop, right? And this isn't calling out customers. This isn't, you know, calling out card shops or anything like that. These are merely stories that happened that I want to kind of use as a basis of starting a conversation for people to act better on both sides, right? So this particular story got brought to my attention last week, and it happened a couple months ago. But this is how it went down. So the characters in question today are a father with his sons playing cards. A group of teenagers, younger teenagers, like probably just able to drive 15, 16, something like that, all wearing backpacks and hoodies, but not playing the game. Like, they're not there to play. They're obviously just looking or whatever. A store owner helping another customer at the counter, and he's by himself in the store. Okay. So the scenario.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, teenagers are all grouped together. They're all looking at product that's on the wall. You know, this particular store keeps their more expensive product behind the counter, but, you know, there is still product on the wall. And the father is playing with his kids, one or two, playing a card game at the tables. And the store owner is helping a customer handle a buy list at the counter. So he's looking at, you know, cards that need to be a certain, you know, he needs to make sure that he could take them based on grade and things like that. Well, he gets kind of nervous because the teenagers are all right next to each other, all grouped together, kind of blocking view of the product by the product. So, he's a little stressed, admittedly. And he's also very busy. So he might have come off a little bit estranged, right? But he looks up and he says, excuse me, do you guys mind separating a little bit just so I could see the product, you know, just so we're all in the good. The teenagers blew him off. They separated, you know, they did what teenagers do. They're trying to act cool or whatever. They didn't really say anything to him. They just like separated and probably snickered a little bit. No big deal. The person that told me the story didn't think that they were going to do anything, but he has to protect the product because it's a small business, right? Well, the father that was playing card games did not like this. The father got up and told the store employee basically what he thought. He said that he should have never, and I quote, never fucking said anything to those kids about that. He's got no right to just assume they would steal. And that he thinks that this guy should be fired, essentially. The store employee just said, okay, I'm sorry that you feel that way. I'm just trying to protect a small business. Let me handle this customer right here, and then we could talk about it further. Trying to stay calm, cool, collected. You know, this happens. It's a real retail store. But the guy continued on, and he just berated this kid for, you know, 5-10 minutes until another employee came, and then he basically looked at the other employee and said, you're the only fucking reason that I come here anyhow. Fuck this guy, we're leaving. And he took his kids and he left. The teenagers in question didn't think anything about it. They came up, they bought what they were going to buy, said, you know, nice store, have a great day. They left, and the employee was just left bewildered at what happened, because why would the guy step in? It wasn't his kids, you know, it had nothing to do with him, and the store owner wasn't trying to accuse him of anything. So let me ask you, what are your thoughts on the situation?
Why the fuck did the guy say anything?
Correct. You know, like, now, we weren't there, we don't know. The employee might have come off a little bit more angry towards the kids than probably necessary. However, they weren't offended. It had nothing to do with the guy's kids. And it is a small business, so you do have to protect your product, right? So, I don't know. I'm of the side of the store's in the right there. That guy should have never said anything. And the store's not losing anything by him not coming back. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, tone is everything. And, like, if said employee was an adult and he kind of like came off a little bit more aggressive, I could see a world where, hey, you don't need to talk to children like that, like, you know, ask a little bit more politely. I could see that scenario, but at the end of the day, it's their store. They got to protect the, you know, their product. The stereotype is a bunch of teenagers huddling around a thing. They're trying to, like, snatch something. Like, you got to do what you got to do. Why the fuck the dad said anything? That, if I was at the store playing with my kids and I heard that, I'd be like, yeah. I'd look at the kids and be like, yeah, just follow suit, bud. Like, it's private property. Like, you got to listen to them. And, I mean, yeah, the dad was 1,000% in the wrong. Shout out to the kids for, you know, snickering or whatever, laughing about it, but actually doing what they're told. And second of all, speaking of this father, your kids are in the store with you. Do not act like a fucking ass in front of them either, because now you're teaching your children you can act like that in public. That's not okay.
100%. Yeah, that's what got me the most, right? But, like, as you said, tone was everything, right? So even if the employee was a little bit more forceful in his tone to the kids, obviously, I don't know. I don't think so, because the kids didn't say anything about it, right? Because kids will pop off. Teenagers will pop off at anything, especially if they think that, like,
it'll make them look
whatever.
Cool.
Yeah. So the dad coming back at him, like, okay, so if he did pop off a little bit harder at the kids, right, as a father being there, I might go up to him and be like, hey, you were a little bit harsh to them, you know, like, maybe apologize or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I'm not going to go over there and be like, what the fuck are you doing berating those kids or anything? Because, again, tone is everything. Like, it's a at the end of the day, it's a private business. I don't have a right to be there. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I'm being allowed to be there, enjoying my time with my kids, right? He can just say get out at any time to anybody. But also, like, respect. You know, like, if he was in the wrong, you coming up and being in the wrong doesn't fix it.
Yeah, you know, like, yeah, for sure. For sure. And I mean, it's like, I don't understand why he felt the need, unless the employee did something to him earlier that day, or said something to him earlier that day, and that's just not being told. That's the only reason I could think that he might be like, yo. But even still, like, this isn't fucking Walmart.
Right.
This is a card shop.
It's a local business, you know.
Yeah.
If you know anything about card shops, you know the profit margins aren't great. You know, like, and the fact that they could probably make more money by shutting down or just selling online.
Yeah.
But they're open for a community, right?
Like, yeah.
Stop treating everybody like they're out to get somebody, like, and just calm the fuck down.
It's like, who you gonna report him to the supervisor? No. No, because it probably was the supervisor. Like,
I mean, that's the card shops operate a lot like that. You know, like, the guy in charge is the guy that's working because they can't afford to pay 100 employees. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So it's like, let me speak to your manager. Sir, I own the store. Like, fuck? Like, what are you going to do? Get him shut down? Like, that's not going to happen. I mean, respect your area and respect where your other people's area too. Like, don't,
and respect your kids, you know.
Yeah,
like, don't be that guy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But in the same sense, if you are in a card shop, like, the other side of this, if you are in a card shop and, you know, whatever, don't try your hardest to make it look as if, like, everything's on the up and up, right? Like, if you are with a group of friends, don't all huddle together when you're looking at stuff, you know? Like, it's a rough thing. Their profit margins aren't that high. Like, people get on edge, you know? Like, we're dirty nerds. We look sketchy sometimes, so.
For sure. Like, I mean, that's, like, proper etiquette, right? You know, just, like, not, like, get into a group, like, and block the store owner from seeing, you know, what you're doing, or, you know, things like that. Like, don't be shady at a card shop or, like, any business, period. There's only been two times that I've ever been to a card shop that I was stressed out, and neither of those times were because of the employees, or, matter of fact, it was my kids, you know.
Yeah.
My daughter acted up and I was stressed out. So instead of, like, escalating the situation, I just left. Like, it's like, if you don't have to be there ever. So
100%. Yeah.
Whoever that guy is, I probably know him. And if he listens to this podcast, shame on you, buddy. Do not act like that in front of your kids under zero circumstances. So. Yeah, man. Fuck them.
Fuck them.
But other than that, I don't really have... Oh, Red Wings made another deal this past week. What up? Traded for all-star defenseman Jeff Petrie. And by all-star, I mean... That was a decent pickup because it was cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they got a deal on that guy. Like, yeah. I think the Red Wings are gonna make a run for it this year. They're probably not going to win the Cup, but they're going to... They're going to get the playoffs at least.
Yeah. Hopefully. That'd be fantastic. Pittsburgh registration happened, and I don't know if it sold out. Did it sell out?
It did. It did.
Did you make it?
Like 45 minutes. I didn't. So I was confusing Pittsburgh with Peoria dates. I can't go to Pittsburgh date-wise, so I am going to Peoria, though. So.
For real?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I thought that Pittsburgh was on the Peoria dates, so that's the date that I can go. I just I don't pay attention to things.
I'm glad
I didn't try to register for Pittsburgh.
I might have to take you up on that, and I'm glad you're not going to Pittsburgh. To the like 1,500 people that are going to Pittsburgh, sorry. I don't know why you would commit to something like that, but you know what? Respect. But other than that, not really anything else crazy going on around here. Just living the life, I guess. You got anything? Got anything going on?
No, just check us out on Twitter. I'm at FloTK1. He is
MaxLowFTK.
MaxLowFTK.
Link in the description.
Yeah, check us out on Twitter. I don't post very much, but when I do, it'll be important. And keep hitting me up for the dice. If I promise that I'd send you dice, I will get it out Monday. I've been super busy at work and stuff, so I got about 7 orders to send out, so I'm going to send them all out at one time. I got 7 people that said, yo, I'd like some free dice, please. And so I'll send those out. But yeah, just keep hitting me up. I'm trying to give them all away, trying to get them out of my garage. So if you want some, hit me up about it. And yeah, I think that's it. Big weekend coming up, so we'll talk about that Sunday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Next week is a big one. Actually, no. I'll announce when the pod drops. I don't think we're going to be able to get that done Sunday. We might.
Yeah, we should. We do it in the morning, we should.
Yeah, but don't you want to do it after?
No, we'll do it in the morning.
You want to do it in the morning?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, anyway, just we'll let you know.
Or we can do it after at the B&B, because we got a B&B for it, so.
Oh, that's a fucking incredible idea. We'll get with y'all. Don't worry about it. Pod will be up. But anyway, this is our first back-to-back pod in over a year. So shout out to us. And shout out to you guys for all the warm, welcoming feedback, as always. But more importantly, shout out this half of a Dragon Ball. You can't see it for because this is an audio podcast, but I found this on my desk. And yeah, y'all have a wonderful...
Thank you. God damn, you're such a fucking fool. All right, guys, we'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Peace.
Peace.